Chapter 17 Soul Hunter. Because the name suits you. One soul, my son. One hunt in the name of revenge. You will hunt one shining soul when all others turn their backs on vengeance. The Primarch Conrad Kurz, addressing Apothecary Talus of First Claw, 10th Company. Talos had called to her from the darkness. He'd called the assassin's name, spoken in a whisper that emerged as a crackle of vox. "Em Shen," he hissed. The assassin broke into a run. Talos followed. The others would follow later, when the shock broke, when their tawdry and infantile ambitions overcame their grief, when they would look at the body of their slain father, and weep not for his death, but for the fact his relics were taken from their greedy grasp. Talos cared for none of this. The Imperial bitch had murdered his father, and she was going to die for it. This was the age before Aurum. In his gauntlet he gripped a chainsword, gearing it into howling life as he pursued her. Although bareheaded, his vox bead was in place. The shouts of his brothers transmitted with punishing clarity. "Does he hunt her?
Brother, do not do this! You defy the father's last wishes!"
Talos let them rant and rage. The hunter had no concern for anything beyond his prey. Bolts streaked past her as he fired, and she dodged in blurs of dark lightning. Each bang was a storm's echo within the black halls of the Night Haunter's Palace on Sagualsa. The assassin dared a laugh, and well she might. What was alone Astartes to a trained agent of the Imperial Calidus Temple? Nothing. Less than nothing. She ducked and weaved and flipped over the bolts. Outpaced with ease, Talos cursed as he slowed to a halt and melted back into the shadows. The hunt was not over. Em Shen licked her lips to moisten them. The air of Sagualsa was bitter and dry, an effect only magnified by the stilted air within this palace of the damned. Her fingers curled in the hair of her slain prey. The head of the traitor Primarch clutched hard in her grip. Drip, drip, drip. She was painting the onyx floor with trickles of blood from the severed neck. The blood scent was cloying and too rich, like powerful spices. This was the holy blood of the Emperor, soured into rancidity by corruption and evil. Em Shen resisted the urge to cast the grisly trophy away. Evidence. She needed evidence the deed was done. It was strange. The Primarch's genetic inhumanity was revealed once more, even in death. The severed head had taken several minutes to start bleeding. Clotting agents within the blood were finally breaking down, releasing this dark trickle. She could have simply taken the artifacts he wore, such as his simple crown circlet, the silver blade sheathed on his back, or the cloak of black feathers draped across his shoulders. But these relics, while valuable, could be stolen from the living as well as the dead. She needed overwhelming evidence to cast before her superiors. In the form of the dead god's head, the assassin had all she would require on that score. The artifacts she'd taken were for her personal honor, not just the honor of her temple. And oh, how they would praise her for this. Em Shen's picked link back to her ship's data recorders, while scarcely reliable over such a distance, was gone now. She'd felt it die as she leapt at the Night Haunter, and that, too, reeked of the most poetic corruption. The timing of such severance. Something about this place. It made no sense. Her memory was as close to eidetic as the human mind allowed, yet still she was lost. These black and bone-lined corridors, how they shifted and weaved. Sound carried strangely here. Sometimes it carried not at all. The wall next to her head exploded in a shower of debris. She was already moving, already leaping to the side and falling back into her sprint with infinite grace. She was Calidus. She was the most murderous art rendered into human form. On and on she ran. Constantly she passed Astartes in their outdated Mark III and newer Mark IV warplate. At the sight of her, these warriors would freeze. Some trembled with a suppressed urge to draw weapons and meet her in combat. She felt their blood thirst as an overwhelming presence in the air. A few, a rare few, shouted curses at her as she fled past, but not many. These were the stoic sons of a most moribund father. And their gene-sire had died willingly. Still, this most astonishing of developments assailed her thoughts. Fully half of the Calidus Temple, beloved instrument of the God-Emperor, hunted across the galaxy's eastern fringe for the lifeblood of Conrad Kurz, 8th Primarch, father of the Night Lord's Legion. Here, on barren Sagualsa, within this palatial fortress of onyx and obsidian, of ivory and bone and banners of flayed flesh, she had found him. Willingly, he surrendered his life. She, M'Shen, was the death of a Primarch. Godslayer, her mistresses would name her. Tremendous weight smashed her to the ground. The Primarch's head rolled from her clutch, her own face smashed against the tiled floor. Stimulants flooded her blood, and she hurled the burden away. Within a heartbeat span, the assassin was on her feet once more, looking back at the Astartes she'd thrown back against the wall. Him again. Talos's own blood burned. His armor squirted fast spurts of searing chemicals into his body, through sockets in his spine, his neck, his chest and wrists. His chain blade shrieked in a series of enraged whines as it cut nothing but air. The assassin weaved aside from each blow, seeming barely to move, her body slipping into the minimal amount of movement necessary to dodge each swing. The assassin's blue eyes, the blue of seas long boiled away on terror, regarded him with fading amusement. She had nothing to say to him, and no reason to fear him, Astartes or otherwise. She was an imperial assassin. She was the limit of human perf... Talos's blade edge nicked her black weave armor, slashing a cut in the sinskin over her bicep. Eyes wide in alarm, she made a diving roll to the side, grabbed the trailing black hair of the Primarch's head, and sprinted away faster than any Astartes could hope to follow. Talos watched her go. The voices of his brothers were heated in his ear. Even his brothers within First Claw railed at him for this most disrespectful of disobediences.
"The hunter chose this fate," Vandred screamed. "Talos, this was his final wish," Cyrene implored him. "She must escape back to Terra."
Talos moved back into the shadows, a crooked smile on his face. His voxlink screamed in 100 tinny voices, others now joining the raging arguments. The sons of Nighthaunter had recovered their desperate ambitions quickly enough. Acerbus, Halaska, Sahal, and the others. The other captains, the other chosen. Talos heard them whining and raging in his ears, and he found himself smiling at their furious and helpless disbelief.
"She has taken his signet ring," one stormed. "His crown," another wailed like a lost child. "Our father had not foreseen this," one of them said. And then the ultimate hypocrisy. They demanded the entire legion do now for greed, what they had been cursing Talos for attempting in the name of vengeance.
"She must be slain for this," they cried. "She has transgressed against us all."
The names of legion relics stolen from their rightful inheritors was a litany Talos had no desire to listen to. He tuned out their voices, so suddenly full of righteous indignation. How soon his brethren turned from faith and love in their gene-sire to grave doubts. The very same moment they realized the assassin had stolen weapons and relics they believed were theirs to inherit.
Such greed. Such pathetic, disgusting greed.
Talos despised them all in that moment. Never before had the sickening ambition of his corruptible brothers been shown so clearly. And so was born the hatred that would never heal. The assassin escaped the palace and did so with apparent ease. The Night Lords took their ships, ragtag gatherings of claws and companies, racing to their Thunderhawks to return to their vessels in orbit. The entire Night Lord fleet ringed the world of Sagwalsa, and they gave chase in unprecedented force. Four vessels pulled ahead of the others. These were Hunter's Premonition of 3rd and 11th Companies, Umbrea Insidio of 1st Company, the Silent Prince of 4th and 7th Companies, and Covenant of Blood of 10th. The assassin's ship, no matter how sleek, fast, and exquisitely wrought it was, stood no chance at all. As it powered away from the dark orb of Sagwalsa, the pursuing cruisers lanced in its wake, weapons roaring at their quarry's essential systems. She fell from the warp, powerless and crippled, dead in space. Boarding pods spat from all four Astartes vessels, crashing home and locking fast in the metal flesh of the Imperial ship. The hunters bit into their prey, each one desperate to be the first to taste blood, and with it, victory. On board the assassin's ship, Talos ran with the other hunters in his pack. Menials, mortals, servitors. All fell before the howling Night Lords as they flooded the decks from 100 hull breaches. It was to be a day forever imprinted in the annals of Legion history, as well as one held in the hearts of every Astartes present in that moment of denied vindication. As the hunters found her, squads from First Company claiming that honor, a fresh anger broke out across the Vox network. Talos stood in the charnel pit of the crew habitation quarters, surrounded by brothers from the 10th, and the ruined meat of so many mortal crew members. Blood painted the walls, the floor, and the dark fronts of their armor plating. Not a soul would survive the culling of the murderous ship. At first, the reports had difficulty filtering through to the Astartes engaged in the hunt on board. Their blood was up, and the alerts were lost within the chaos of howling voices taking hold of the Vox channels. Talos was one of the first to hear. He powered down his chainsword, tilting his head as he listened carefully.
"How can this be?"
"We are under attack," he voxed to the others in proximity, his voice cold, calm, but edged with the taint of disbelief. "We are under attack! By the Eldar!"
In the centuries to come, the warriors of the 8th Legion would argue over the exact nature of the Xenos ambush. Riding from their unknowable pathways through the void, wraith-like Eldar ships ghosted around the embattled Night Lord's vessels, alien weapons bringing light to the blackness, cutting into yielding shields without mercy. Some claimed the assault was to claim the relics of the Primarch, just as the assassin had. Others argued that an alien race would have no need of such treasures, and it was either indecipherable Xenos reasoning or merely a night of ill fortune conspired by fate that brought the fleets into contact at such a moment. Umbrea Insidio would be lost, and with it the betrayer Sahal. The Silent Prince would suffer devastating damage, but ultimately the Xenos fleet would be annihilated. Yet few of the Legion claimed any satisfaction in the hollow triumph won that night. During the evacuation, Eldar warriors materialized in the hallways of the assassin's ship, manifesting before the packs of enraged Night Lords, to be cut down even before they were free of the shimmering smears that marked the aftermath of alien teleportation technology. First Claw, along with the other squads on board, fought their way back to their boarding pods.
Whatever they've come for,
Sirion voxed, as he cut the head from an Eldar female, even as she appeared.
They want it badly. Back to the ship,
Captain Malkarion was shouting over the disorderly fighting retreat.
Back to the Covenant!
The vox was no clearer now. Jubilant cries clashed with the calls for withdrawal, and hateful curses leveled at the aliens. Somewhere in the verbal melee, Talos could hear the victorious shrieks of Captain Sahal and the fevered raging of First Company. Something was wrong. He could hear it in their voices. He slowed in his stride, falling behind the rest of his claw, his attention pouring into the myriad cries and conflicting reports coming over the vox. A pattern emerged soon enough. Captain Sahal had reclaimed one of the Night Haunter's relics and immediately fled. He was taking Umbrea Insidior away from the fleet, breaking formation and trying to run from the Eldar.
He has abandoned First Company,
Talos swallowed. Had he heard that right? Had one of the Legion's most respected commanders left his own warriors to die at the hands of the Eldar? Talos stopped dead in his tracks, the corridor silent now that the rest of his squad had raced so far ahead. Sahal had fled with his treasure, running into the void. First Company were battling their way to their boarding pods and would be stranded, forced to die fighting, or rely on the charity of the other vessels to save them. Talos cared little for most of this. The struggles of First Company were First Company's own trouble. The Legion was in retreat from this grotesque ambush, and 10th Company would be fighting to save itself. But M. Shen's death had still not been confirmed over the Vox network. In his greed, Sahal was fleeing with his trinket, all thoughts of vengeance forgotten, and the assassin was still alive. Talos turned from his path of escape and moved deeper into the ship. The power was out, leaving her in darkness, but she was safe at last. As quickly as they'd come, the Astartes had fled. Her ship still shuddered, but it seemed to her that the alien attackers, the filthy Xenos creatures that named themselves Eldar, had withdrawn with the Night Lord's retreat. One of them had taken her hand with a swing of his blade. She could not fight off 5 of them at once, and the blow had severed her wrist in a clean slice. Her training made any pain from the wound utterly ignorable, but M. Shen bound her wrist with a tourniquet and a temporary seal of synthetic flesh nevertheless. The bleeding had been a danger, even if shock and pain had not. She stood on the bloody ruin of her bridge, listening to the labored breathing and shivers of the few crew members that yet drew breath. None of them could see. The auxiliary power should have come online by now, resurrecting the lights. The continuing darkness was a bold enough statement that her ship was almost certainly damaged beyond easy repair. M. Shen spun on her toes, her blade in her remaining hand. She could see nothing in the pure blackness, but she didn't need to. The thrum of live power armor filled her senses. The low growls of its servo joints and false muscle fibers flexing told her all she needed to know. The Astartes' location, his posture, everything. The assassin edged to the right, allowing herself a smile. Despite her exhaustion and blood loss, a lone Astartes would prove no threat. She... Talos closed his hand around her throat. He could sense she was duller, slower, and the beat of her heart was quicker than it had been in the palace. The assassin was weakened from her escape and the recent battle. But she would kill him before his heart's had time to beat twice, if he tried to hold her. Everything about this creature was engineered to end life, and with infinitely more skill and grace than the blunt efficiency of the Astartes. He was a warrior, but she was a murderer. He was trained for battle and war. She was bred only to kill. The same second his hand gripped her throat, he was already acting. Not to squeeze, her armor of precious sin skin would resist such trauma. He jerked her close, risking a headbutt to daze her. That was a mistake. The assassin leaned her head back like a recoiling serpent. Curse her, she was fast. Talos felt her fisted hand coming up to unleash the lethality within her rings, each one a digital weapon of some unknown configuration. He wasted no time. The Night Lord spat into her face and hurled her away. She had not screamed in many years. It wasn't that pain was new to her, nor even a surprise. But this was no neat severance of limb from the body. This was the dissolving of her eyes in her skull, and never before had pain eclipsed her senses so completely. Even through the agony, she imagined the wretched Night Lord stumbling away in his cumbersome armor, amused at her momentary helplessness. And she was right. In the darkness, Talos relished the sound of her scream. Even sweeter was the subtle, mellifluous hiss of acidic venom eating into the soft tissue of her beautiful blue eyes. Panting now, seeing nothing but milky white sunfire, the assassin swallowed the pain, remembered her teachings, and used the agony as a focus. Over the vicious tsssh of her melting eyes, she heard the humming rumbles of his armor. He had to die. He had to die now. She launched at him to make the need become reality. Talos fired at the floor, bolt shells masking his movements as their rapid explosions overwhelmed the bridge chamber with noise. He cast a black-eyed glance at the assassin, blindly fighting the air. Her lashing kicks and blade sweeps utterly lethal, aimed at audible joints and weak points of his armor, but utterly useless. Talos was already across the bridge away from her, Baltus still barking. Deafened and disoriented, the assassin slowed her movements. Desperately poised, muscles taut, she seemed to be trying to filter the noise of his armor through the banging detonations. He risked another shot to distract her, aiming squarely in her direction. She weaved a minimal amount, just as she had in the palace, and the bolt went wide. Talos breathed out a curse, as however she fought to sense him succeeded perfectly. The assassin turned to face him and started running. With his free hand, he slammed on his helm. The Night Lord was a fool. Every explosion ringing from the floor betrayed the shell's point of origin. It was complex, a matter of rigid concentration and training, and M. Shen was slowed by the pain she struggled to overcome. That was why triangulating his location took almost 4 entire seconds, an age to her preternatural senses. Bolt started tearing directly at her, which confirmed her belief that the Astartes was a fool. Even rendered sightless, these she dodged with ease. A new sound overrode the slicing whoosh of missing bolts, a sound she had only heard once before, his voice speaking a single word. Praesite. Had her blows landed, he would have died. He knew this with cold certainty. Assassins, those from the Imperial-sanctioned temples, were already legends in the young Imperium. Her remaining hand would have thrust, blade-like and steel-hard, into the joints of his armor, crushing nerves, and perhaps even breaking the enhanced bone of an Astartes warrior skeleton. From there, his death would have taken mere moments. The pain he'd inflicted would be repaid tenfold. None of her blows landed because she made no attempt to strike him. As the blur of dull thermal movement came charging towards him, as every bolt he fired was dodged with ease, Talos filled his 3 lungs with the blood-rich air of her wrecked bridge. As deep and echoing as the first thunderclap of a breaking storm, he roared his hatred at her. Within a Calidus assassin, training and instinct met in honed, focused fusion. That fusion split within M. Shen, as she lost the second of her senses. The depriving assault hit as hard and fast as the first. A moment of ear-splitting pain lanced through to the core of her mind, shaking her hearing, and all was suddenly silent. She had no idea if the Night Lord was still screaming or had fallen quiet after detecting his triumph. Her senses were killed. She felt only the air shaking around her as her enemy moved again and as bolts slashed past. Blinded, deafened, clutching a shimmering blade that had taken the head of a fallen god, she twisted in her sprint and leapt at where she was certain the Astartes must be. Her estimation was, as always, perfect. Talos held her with the gentleness of a lover. "My father told me of this night," he whispered to her, "and I never believed him. I never believed I would disobey him, until you came into our home and took him from us." Emshen never heard his words. She would never hear anything again in her life, which was now measured in seconds. The assassin dropped her blade. As her gloved fingers uncurled almost against her will, she felt the heavy weapon thump against her foot. Strengthless arms wouldn't move. Trembling fingers couldn't crook to fire digital weapons within the ornate rings. Painkillers choked her veins, with no effect beyond an irritating tickle of sensation. Her stomach was aflame. It hurt even more than the hissing holes where her eyes had been. Some violation, some iron-hard presence pressed her in place, transfixing her torso. She guessed correctly what it was, the Night Lord's chainsword. He had impaled her on his blade. A dim, fading part of her mind tried to assess this damage, but the brutal and human edge to her consciousness overrode a life of combat narcotics and relentless training. She was dying. She would be dead within moments. "God Slayer," she said to him, never hearing her own words. "That is how I will be remembered." Talos blinked stinging tears from his eyes. His thumb edged closer to the chainsword's activation rune. Threat, 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 the warning runes flickered. Talos blink clicked them away, clearing his red visor display of all but the assassin's masked face and her hollow, bleeding eye sockets. "Ave Dominus Nox," he whispered, and gunned the impaling chainsword into life. He drifted for 16 hours. Alone in one of the boarding pods left by the ravaged survivors of First Company. In the absolute silence, he had only his grief and satisfaction to pass the time. They did so admirably. When his brothers found him, when the pod was brought aboard the Covenant of Blood as it returned to seek survivors and salvage, Talos was still sitting in one of the pod's thrones, his armor spotted with dried blood. The pod's doors opened into ramps, and Talos looked out into the Covenant's starboard launch bay. First Claw stood watching him, their weapons raised. "She's dead," he told them, and rose to his feet, movements sluggish and weary. His chainsword's teeth were clogged with dark, chewed meat and shards of bone. Before leaving her vessel, he had sawn her into nothing more than gobbets of biological matter, venting his final frustrations on her remains. In the darkness of the bridge, the surviving mortal crew members heard everything, with only their fearful imaginations to provide the imagery. "Talos," Captain Malkarian, the war sage, approached slowly. "Brother." Talos raised his head with equal slowness. "She killed our father," he said in a crackle of vox. "I know, brother. We all know. Come, we must deal with the aftermath." "The Haunter said I would do this." Talos looked at the gore-caked blade. "I did not believe him. Not until I felt the rage of her presence in our palace." "It is over," said Malkarian.
Come, tell us. It will never be over.
Talos dropped the blade to the ground with a crash.
But at least now I know why he named me as he did. One soul, he said. You will hunt one shining soul while all others turn their backs on vengeance.
Brother, come. If you touch me, Malkarion, I will kill you next. Leave me.
I'm going to my chambers. I need to think.
Talos left his weapons where they lay. Primus would gather them.
As you wish, the war sage said. Soul hunter. Soul hunter.
Talos chuckled in response, the sound laced with bitterness.
I believe I could get used to that.